News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Sinn Féin will today launch its new healthcare policy. And for more on this, I'm joined by David Cullinan, the party spokesperson on health. David, I've had a good look at what you are proposing. It's very expensive.
Well, it is the most significant and comprehensive healthcare plan ever produced by any political party. It was produced on the back of 150 meetings with healthcare workers, with patients and their families, with children with disabilities and their families, health campaign groups and health experts. And it's not about whether it's expensive, it's whether or not the plan is what's necessary to deliver better access to healthcare for people when they need it. After 14 years of Fine Gael in government, we have nearly a million people on health waiting lists. We have some people who can't access a GP on time. We have public patients waiting for access to a dentist. We have patients in hospital trolleys. We've had untimely deaths in emergency departments. That's not a situation I can stand over. And the plan that I have produced on the back of all of those discussions with health experts and patients is the most comprehensive healthcare plan that has ever been produced, because I am ambitious about delivering safe and efficient healthcare services for the people listening to your programme.
Okay, I think the government would argue that waiting lists are falling and that they are spending a huge amount of money. And I know you said it doesn't matter if it's expensive, it matters about delivering. But the reality is it does matter if it's expensive, because if you're spending 30 billion on health, that is a massive increase of about 6 billion on where we're currently at. Something else is going to have to give elsewhere, isn't it? Where are you going to get the money from? What are you going to cut back to provide these services?
Well, I'm not saying that the cost is unimportant. What I'm saying is that the scale of my ambition will not be limited to what has been an acceptance of failure in healthcare. We went from having a trolley crisis that was a winter trolley crisis to an all year round crisis. We've had promises that were made to children with scoliosis and spina bifida that were not met. We have children with disabilities who can't access assessments of need or basic services. And our plan is an additional 3.6 billion in the Department of Health over 5 years. That's necessary if you want to put the beds in the system, if you want to hire the staff that we need, if we want to put in the surgical theatre capacity, make sure hospitals have the equipment, then it obviously has to be paid for.
I'm glad you mentioned
equally, Ciara, if I can make, because you've made the point about savings.
Yeah.
I also believe that we have to target wasteful spending in healthcare. So if you look at agency spending, outsourcing, premium pay, external consultants, in all of those areas, we can achieve savings, which is why we are targeting 1 billion euro in savings. No party in producing a plan has ever built into it.
That's very
savings.
Interesting. You're talking about wasteful, but for example, you're talking about doing away with all prescription charges. So somebody like me who because of the medications that I am on and the rest of my family are on, does spend the 80 euros per month. That's what I spend in the chemist. But the drugs I receive are probably worth a couple of hundred euros per month. So you're going to take that 80 euros away from me. I can afford it, to be honest, David, and thank you very much for giving it back into my pocket. But is that not wasteful spending? Because 51% of the population already have a medical card. Another very large cohort have things like long-term illness books. So none of them are paying for their drugs. So you're really only giving money back to the wealthier cohort of the population, who are already getting significant bang for their buck, because 80 euros is a very big subsidy for lots of people.
Well, with respect to your individual circumstances, Ciara, which is obviously a matter for you, I deal with tens of thousands of people and hundreds of them in my own constituency who are dealing with a cost of living crisis, who do need relief and who do need these type of measures.
But these are people who don't have medical cards, don't have long, like you're talking about, what are you talking about, 40% of the population? Is that what you're talking about?
You see, the difference between my party and the government parties is that when we signed up to Echelon to Care, a single tier health service, mm-hmm. where in the vast majority of European countries where medicines are paid for by the state, where healthcare is not based on your ability to pay, I'm serious about that. So reducing the cost of prescriptions, having free medicines, into something that most people have in most European countries.
Can we talk a little bit about the changes you're going to bring to the medical card system?
Yes, and I get to that because you also mentioned medical cards. At the moment, anybody that earns up to the median income, up to 42,000 euro, can avail of a free GP card. I want all of those people to have a full medical card, so that we actually,
if I was still a GP, David, I would be dismayed to hear you say that. And I will tell you very simply why, because we know that private patients attend once or twice per year on average. That's what they attend. And public patients who have full medical cards or GP visit cards attend 6 to 7 times per year. So you're talking about tripling the workload of GPs who are already under significant pressure and who already can't often staff their own practices. How are you going to actually create manpower to deal with this surge in GP appointments that you've just created?
Well, I think you've missed the point entirely.
No, I think I've made a very good point. There's no manpower to allow this to happen.
If you allow me, Ciara, to point out the mistake that you made.
One.
What we're saying is that anybody who already has a free GP card will have a full medical card. They already have access to free GP. I'm not talking about expanding free GP cards for exactly the reasons you just gave. So we could have, for example, expanded more free GP cards to people on higher incomes. We haven't done that because we don't want to overburden and overload
so this,
GPs.
So this idea that you're rolling out more medical cards, all you're doing is giving those people free GP cards the free...
It's the full medical card, but it's also the whole range of community services. So again, if you understand what a medical card does, yes, it provides free medicines, it provides access to a GP, but also a whole range of primary and community care services. So the question then is this, Ciara: are we committed to a single tier health service free at the point of delivery, a public health service that we can be proud of? Our plan also values healthcare workers, because I essentially see healthcare as about people, people treating people, and I see it through the lens of patients who deserve better access to care, but also people who work in perpetual crisis in our healthcare service, which is why we want to recruit an additional 40,000 healthcare workers over the next 5 years to safely staff our healthcare
services. Fair play
services.
To you wherever you're going to get them. Can I ask you as well, you're going to create a layer of GPs who work for the HSE as salaried employees. I'm sure lots of people would like that job. It would be a good job, I've no doubt, because they'd get things like sick pay and maternity leaves and everything that they don't necessarily get in their current employment. So that would be a good thing. How are you going to manage the out of hours?
Well, the first thing we want to do is offer that public GP contract. And when you say fair play to us wanting to attract all of those staff, that is the height of my ambition. And
okay.
I'm not going to have the height of... Sorry, one sec. I'm not going to have the height of my ambition limited by the failure of this government or any other
As I said,
government.
Fair play. How are you going to manage the out of hours? When you take those people out of their current employment where they are obliged to provide out of hours, even though it's very difficult for them very often, how are you going to provide out of hours? Because now they're salaried employees. Now they're only working 39 hours a week, whereas currently they are absolutely obliged as a general practitioner to provide 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. So you're going to need how many more GPs when you provide out of hours in this manner? Thousands,
well,
would it be?
First of all, at the moment, we don't have a public GP contract. So if you read the document, you will see that we say that we will commence negotiations with the ICGPU and the IMO on the terms of that contract. It's not about taking people out of general practice. It's about increasing the number of GPs. We increase training places by 60%. At the core of our plan is choice for trainees. So I have engaged with trainee doctors, Ciara, and what they tell me is that some of them want independent practice. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to travel.
Oh, no, I'm aware of all these issues.
Others want the option of working for the state on a public contract, which exists in the vast majority of European countries. So what other countries are doing well is not beyond this state. The bottom line is this: some people listening to your programme are waiting longer than they have ever had to wait for access to a GP. I don't want that to continue. I want to increase training places. I want to give trainees choice. But I also want to tackle all of the other problems in healthcare. It's not about being cynical. It's about being positive and optimistic about how we can tackle the problems in healthcare. And when you have a political party that publishes a significant and comprehensive healthcare plan, it's up to the public, the people listening to your programme, to decide whether or not they want to continue with 5 more years of a party that made promises and parties that haven't delivered, or a change. And I believe that the people in an election campaign, Ciara, deserve a choice deserve an alternative. And that's what we in Sinn Féin will provide.
Look, thank you for joining us this morning, David. That is David Cullinan there, the party's spokesperson on health in Sinn Féin.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.